Play ball. Good morning and welcome. Happy Thursday. It's the Bob Rose Show, 6:08. Greg Cassidy is here as well, of course, and we've got your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. That'll get louder and more obnoxious tomorrow. Today, we'll keep it cool. Top stories, U.S.-Iran conflict escalation. What? Tensions have spiked after an alleged U.S. airstrike hit a wedding party. Now, this was ABC News. I haven't really looked into, where they got the report from. That would be awful if that's the case. But allegedly, that prompted Iranian missile and drone attacks near the Gulf and accusations of war crimes. Many times adversaries have reported things that were not necessarily true when it comes to these kinds of events, but we'll look into it. Government shutdown has been avoided. We talked a little bit about that yesterday with Congresswoman Kat Kamick. Got a spending bill through. Looks like that's pretty much a done deal. So that's a good thing. And speaking of the Congresswoman, or really any of the fine interviews we have, when I talk to people, there's compelling information that is shared. And of course, you know, every once in a while, I'll throw in a little of my own opinion, just a little. And if you don't get to hear it, you miss some of the brilliance. Now, why would you do that? You have the Bob Rose Show podcast. Everywhere they have podcasts, I'm there.
He's everywhere.
I'm like, hello there. I'm like Jesus poking my head out from the door. I see what you're doing there.
I love those.
Yeah, those are great. Yeah. All right, so anyway, it doesn't matter if you're on Apple, Spotify, Odyssey, iHeart, wherever you listen to the Bob Rose Show. Get it. Free, good, follow, good, all good. I like it. All right, so we covered that. Bill Clinton celebrating 80th birthday, huh?
Wow.
Yeah.
Getting up there.
And guess
Bill?
Who was there?
Who's that?
Huma 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 Abedin. Remember her?
Yeah.
Huma? Huma? She was married to Wiener.
Wiener, yeah.
Yeah.
And wasn't she like one of Hillary's besties or something?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Really.
They were tight.
Close.
Yeah.
Who knows? Relationship.
It is really close.
The party was just one of many 80th celebrations for the birthday boy, whose actual birthday is August 19th.
Okay.
They're having birthday parties and events all over the country as a fundraising vehicle. Ooh.
Well, they
savvy.
Are good. They're good at raising some money, them
yes,
Clintons.
Yes, they yeah. are. Yeah. And just as long as you're not the lady jumping out of the cake, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I don't want that gig. Whose yeah. birthday party is it? Oh, a nice 80-year-old man. He's a real gentleman. Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, happy birthday, Slick Willie. I got to go. The event was described as an intimate gathering, I bet. Mm. Took place at the Hamptons home of George Soros' son, Alex, who is a mega donor to left.
They're tight.
And the Clinton birthday party coincides with multiple fundraising events. Holding for the Clinton Foundation and the Clinton Global Initiative. Gosh, all the time I hear about these great things they're spending money on. Remember when they looked at in depth some of this stuff? Now it's a little bit dated, but
sure.
What was it? They were just under the very bare minimum that you would have to spend to keep their status as like a foundation.
Right.
And their overhead was like unbelievable.
Well, you know, I got to pay salaries, Bob.
And you got to fly first class.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere.
Everything's expensive.
Private jets.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Gets expensive.
Uh-huh.
All right. So in previous years, Clinton has brought the star power from Hollywood, music industry, to help celebrate his 60th, you know, when he was just a spry man, young man. In Toronto, he had stars there like John Bon Jovi, Tim McGraw, Sarah McLachlan, James Taylor, Billy Crystal, Josh Groban, Kevin Spacey, and Clarence Clemons. But it appears that, you know, it started to get a little bit more low-key as the years went on. Like in his 70th birthday.
Yeah.
He had Barbara Streisand there.
Yeah, she's a biggie in their world, though.
Big lefty?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, Bill Clinton, celebrating his 80th birthday. What is it they always use? You ever see the meme? Sammy Hagar.
Yes.
Yes. Was lead singer of Van Halen for a while, his own career.
He's awesome.
And yeah, he's a very likable guy. I saw him play St. Augustine Amphitheater just a couple of years ago, and he still has a lot of energy. And they'll always show a picture of him yes. and Bill Clinton next to each other. It's like, you know, when a rock star
yeah.
looks better than a former president.
Here you've got sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and here you've got married Hillary.
Although, if you know anything about Sammy Hagar, he has a good time, but he's
a clean guy.
Yes.
In that sense, yeah.
And that guy, he is one of those guys that, I don't know, he started like a little bicycle company for fun and then sold it for a ton of money. And it wasn't because of his name.
Right.
He actually, you know,
just
had a good product.
It.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And he's got, I think, more Ferraris than almost anybody, except for there's some sheikhs, apparently.
I'm
that
sure
have
yeah.
more, but
yeah,
other
but,
than that.
Well, you own oil fields. That kind of, you know, that helps.
Yeah, it gives you an advantage financially, doesn't it? Oh, speaking of which, yeah we're getting some things done when it comes to the oil in Venezuela.
Nice.
U.S. Energy Secretary Chris Wright traveled to Caracas, and that is how you say it. It's not that other island thing with the world champion baseball
the Little
Leaguers, team.
Yeah.
He traveled to Caracas Tuesday night to finalize the historic oil deal between the U.S. and Venezuela. Just touched down, he said. President Trump's energy diplomacy is delivering results, advancing new energy deals, opening the door for American companies, and strengthening energy security across our hemisphere.
Awesome.
That is great. And you know that also has got to be another thumb in the eye of the Iranians, you know?
Oh, yeah.
We're saying, your oil's needed less and less by most people. The only people really buying it, I guess, for the most part, is China, if they can even get their paws on it.
Well, and even China, that was the weird thing, which I still don't understand. They were having trouble with the Strait of Hormuz and were trying to find some other way to get out. I'm like, well, they're the ones that are buying your oil, and they're still under concern of getting shot.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, there is plenty to talk about related to Iran and what's going on in the Gulf, and we will promise you that. But I'm already thinking about food even this early, you know, and a good pizza. Yeah, and I'm going to share the story of good pizza and where people are finding it, not maybe where you might think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a story about Pizza Hut or Domino's.
We're intrigued.
Yes, and that's called a tease.
Oh.
And I will slowly reel you in over the next few minutes and share that compelling information with you, that tasty information.
Pepperoni.
It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, 616, 97.3 The Sky. It all depends on who you talk to. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 620 time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. 13% of Democrats say Americans spent too much time focusing on 9/11 terrorist attacks. Just too much time.
What?
Especially with the upcoming 25th anniversary.
Wow.
And it is interesting because you talk to other people, especially anyone around the New York area, and they'll say, man, it's like it was yesterday. It is so fresh. The wound has not healed hardly at all.
Well, what happened to we'll never forget? You know? And you've got 11% Dems say that we think about it. 13% that we talk about it too much or think about it too much.
Too focused on that. They're basically saying, you know, get over it. That's only 13%, but still.
That's Americans.
Well, when you start to look at that, and then you look at how many of them want to vote for socialism, how many of them support this El Sayed, who's like best buddies with that Hassan Piker loser, anti-American hater.
Good point.
That guy's,
yeah. They elected Mamdani in New York.
I also read a piece where they weren't saying it out loud, but I know what they were doing. They were basically trying to say, oh, you want to keep attaching Al Sayed and other Democrat socialists to this Piker guy.
Yeah
we do, because they're tied at the hip, and he went out. So they're trying to make a close tie between J.D. Vance and Tucker Carlson.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, as if that's a common comparison?
Well,
I mean, even if you went there, it's
they're trying
like,
to say
really?
That Tucker Carlson, conspiracy guy, anti-Semite because, you know, he doesn't like Israel or
right.
all that stuff. And so, yeah, that was the general theme of it.
Mm.
And so that's what they're trying to do. Go, oh, yeah, your people have close ties with people we consider on the fringe.
Okay.
That's theirs.
Nice try.
Yeah, exactly. Nice try. All right. You're looking for a good pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Well, why you keep driving around? Why don't you just go to where you get gas and have the pizza there?
Usually you don't think of your local gas station as the best food source in the world. Although I do like the brats. But anyway.
Some have come a long way. They really have. And then, of course, you've got like the Buc-ee's
yes, Wawa,
of the world. And
yeah.
you've got Wawa. So
yeah.
There's another one that may become a common household name. It is in some areas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they have many in Florida, but there's 3,000 of these locations across 19 states, and it's called Casey's.
Oh, yeah.
Casey's with a C. C-A-S-E-Y, apostrophe S. And it's, I guess, centered, really, their roots are in the Midwest. And they've quietly been taking on the pizza market and crushing it.
Really?
Yeah, think about
it. I know they have it, but
you're a gas station,
yeah,
and now you're like in the top five
for pizza
maker. Yeah,
that's pretty amazing.
Yep,
that's a lot of pizza.
3,000 stores spanning 19 states. It's now the fifth largest pizza purveyor in the nation, according to Bank of America research.
Wow,
you don't hear the other big pizza players talk about Casey's. But at the same time, it's evident from our growth, we're taking share as we continue to grow. You know, first of all, they have some advantages. They kept their price point low. So you get about the same pizza you get there
yeah.
for, say, around $13. You'd pay about $20 at Domino's, for instance,
okay.
on average.
That's a big difference.
So you've got that going on. And you see, when food costs go up everywhere else, they've been able to maintain and hold the line a little bit because what else do they sell? Gas, and the profit margins there have been higher. So, you know, they're making the money one way or another.
Hmm.
One guy said, if I had to go between Little Caesars and Casey's, I think I'd go to Casey's. And that's a guy who's a travel influencer with, you know, just that video alone.
You don't think about leaving the house to run down to the gas station for pizza, do you?
No. No, you don't. Yeah, here's the comparison. Best of all, large Casey's Pizza runs customers around $13.99, while Domino's, Papa John's, and Pizza Hut's pizza costs closer to $20, offering a reprieve for inflation-battered customers. So, yep, they've currently set their sights on Texas. One of their advantages, they say, too, is where they're located. They're located in towns that don't have a lot of people, fewer than 5,000 people.
Right.
And a lot of times you don't have a big national competitor there.
That's true.
I know back in the day, well, I had several friends that owned Domino's franchises, and they would do market studies before they would give a franchise area, before you could buy it. They'd
right.
say, oh, nope, you got to have a minimum of, I think back then it was 12,000 addresses.
Okay.
And a buddy of mine, he there was like 11,500 addresses in the area that he wanted in California.
Oh, no.
But it was a really growing area.
Okay.
And he begged them and begged them. They put him off a couple times and finally said, okay, but it's on you. We don't ever want to see a Domino's like closed.
That's right.
like bad for
right.
business. He ended up at one time being like in the top 2% of the world per capita.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah.
He had a little foresight that they weren't looking at.
Yeah, I've got some great stories about that, the pizza business, people involved in it. It's
But now that you mentioned it with the whole Casey's, I had not thought about that. But in my travels, and a lot of it coming from the Midwest to go to other places, you're right. They are in the smaller towns, the smaller communities. Hadn't thought about it that way, though.
Yeah, so
we think of, like you said, the Wawa, the Buc-ee's. They're huge. They're on the side of the highway. They
right.
take up, and then you've got your little Casey's, you know, gas station.
Well,
there.
And you can be on the side of a highway, but still in an area that's
yeah.
not, you know, very populated.
Sure.
I don't know. Most of my experiences on the road, if you are like desperate, you
yeah.
know, and you're, I grew up where, you know, Dad was looking at his watch and driving.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
like we're driving to Philly or whatever.
yeah.
I'm making good time. He's looking at us. What? I'm making good time.
Uh-huh.
So that's like burned into my mind. So I don't want to waste a lot of time. Usually I do eat on the road when I'm traveling
uh-huh.
because I don't want to be on the road any longer than I have to be. In other words, I want to get to my destination.
Sure.
Because. So a lot of gas stations that are very, very disappointed most of the time. And you try to get something they can't really screw up, you know?
Right.
You know, like a chicken tender.
Yeah.
How bad can you make that? You'd be surprised.
Really? I mean, it comes from, well, I guess it depends how old it is.
But like depends I said, some on a lot of factors. How old's that grease you're frying it in?
Oh, now there's that part. I guess that's maybe why I like the brats. You know, they sit on the little rotisserie thing there. They're turning on the hot wheels, you know. And I've had some really good ones.
I've seen stuff that looked like it was been on that roller coaster since the Stone Age,
It could have been.
Dried, all shriveled up and nasty.
No, you got to get the ones that are just done.
When it doesn't look right.
Uh-huh.
I'd rather have a microwave burrito.
Don't blame you.
Pick your poison, people.
Uh-huh.
But Casey's, I'll be looking for those just to check it out.
Yeah.
I'm already a fan of Buc-ee's and Wawa's. Yeah. 6:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We've got a lot to talk about, including the Trump manufacturing boom. It gets even stronger. That's coming up on News Talk 97.3 The Sky. Well, good morning. How's it going? I hope it is going well. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 6:38. Good morning and welcome. Look, maybe I have to apologize. Some people aren't ready for good news, and it just keeps coming. Listen, don't share any of this information with your lefty friends, because they're not celebrating America like you are. They hate America. They hate Donald Trump. They don't want us to succeed. They want socialism because they're lazy losers who can't compete in the marketplace. Okay? Tell them that. And then they won't be on your nerves anymore. They'll go away.
Yes. And
here, case in point. Okay? The pessimists are wrong and the numbers prove it. This from Fox News. While a chorus of commentators insist that the American economy is faltering, businesses are seeing strong returns and investing those dollars to grow. From record-breaking tax refunds this spring to surging business investments across every sector, the evidence of economic strength is overwhelming for anyone willing to look past the headlines. American businesses aren't just investing, they're going on offense. Companies are purchasing equipment, upgrading technology, modernizing facilities, and hiring people. They're planning for growth, not bracing for decline. And thanks to the Trump administration's tax reforms, they have the certainty and incentives to put capital to work now. We talked about that before. How if the Democrats were in charge, the price of oil and gas would be very, very high because they don't like that industry.
No.
All right. And that's one of the things they know. The industry knows, we're in an environment with Democrats in charge and they don't like drilling holes. They don't like refining oil. They don't like oil.
Mm-mm.
And so are they going to invest? Are they going to expand under those conditions? Of course they're not. So same thing across the whole business landscape. Now there is some certainty, and the certainty is a good certainty. In other words, things are looking good. The One Big Beautiful Bill fundamentally changed the game. For entrepreneurs still sitting on the sidelines, the message couldn't be clearer. Stop waiting. This is the year to invest. Every month you delay is a month your competitors are pulling ahead. Taking advantage of provisions designed to reward exactly the kind of bold investment that builds lasting success. Consider what's happened. The permanent restoration of 100% bonus depreciation. It lets businesses recover the full cost of qualifying investments immediately, not over years. That means a manufacturer can purchase new machinery. A restaurant can, you know, renovate its kitchen, or a tech startup can upgrade its servers, and every one of them can deduct the full cost in the same tax year. That is, to steal a word we've heard from the president, huge.
Huge.
Section 179 has been expanding, letting small businesses deduct even more upfront. The IRS even issued guidance to make the path clearer and give owners confidence to move forward without hesitation. Now look what's happening this spring. A government accountability office reported that this was released just a couple of weeks ago, shows that the IRS issued $296 billion in refunds during the 26 filing season. That's a 17% jump from the previous year. That's $43 billion more back in American pockets. And that makes a difference.
That's real money.
So, yeah. But the mainstream media? Nope. They won't have anything to do with it. Yeah. They will look and search for anything that they can do that's an economic negative. Or they could even take a positive story like the deal with Venezuela and then put in all these caveats. Oh, it's going to be years. Oh, the infrastructure all needs to be, you know, repaired. Oh, it's going to be this. And they exaggerate the downside and just omit the upside. Because they don't want you to think that Trump and his policies are successful, but they are. Instead, the lefty media wants to focus and concentrate on the easy way out. Why do you want to work so hard? Don't you think you should have a nap break every 45 minutes on the job and 5 days a week busting your butt? 4 days is plenty. And you should still get the same pay. In fact, you should get more pay. We need to spread this out so all the workers get more. And you know what? You can live a life of luxury. We'll pay off those loans. You know what? We'll take care of you. Don't even worry about it. You don't need medical insurance anymore. The government's going to take care of all of that, and it won't cost you anything. Yeah, if it sounds too good to be true, Grandma told me it probably is.
Does this remind you of that video years ago when you had the lady during the Obama administration? She got caught on camera. I'm going to get my Obama phone. Yep. He's going to pay my mortgage. Da, da, da. It's like,
and they really believed it.
They did. It's like they thought they were going to live just free in that sense.
Yeah. Well,
kind of sad.
It's, again, goes back to Ayn Rand and, you know, Atlas Shrugged. And when the people that are performing are pulling the wagon and they see more people jumping in the wagon and less people pulling on it, pretty soon they go, wow, this is really an uphill climb and I'm getting tired of it. And they quit producing.
Mm-hmm.
The great American factory comeback. America's manufacturing sector is booming. Orders are rising. Factories are turning out more capital equipment. Job openings soaring. Purchasing managers say the expansion continued in August. Four reports released over the past few weeks approach the factory sector from different directions. All of them found accelerating strength in durable goods, the core of U.S. manufacturing. Yeah, I'd mentioned this, talked about this a little bit the other day, but apparently when they look at the numbers, it's even more good news. Can you stand it? Can you stand all this good news?
Oh, my.
Yes. Now, everybody looks at it individually. Well, I don't see any big opportunity for me. Look around. You might be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But you got to look around. You got to do some of your own homework, too.
A little effort on their part?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Bob.
I know.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Just cash in on that socialism and let some rich guy pay for it all.
All right.
Except it never works that way because the only thing they spread out is not the wealth.
Oh, they're spreading something.
It's the misery.
Hmm.
6:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Elon Musk. We're not going to have to work either. Humanoids are going to do it all. Yeah. I don't know if I want them to do it all. Details on that coming up. News Talk 97.3, The Sky. Athletic sports participation, all that stuff can be great. So many lessons to learn as long as you have the right adults leading the way. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show, 6:50, 10 minutes till 7 o'clock. Greg Cassidy is here as well. Coming up at 8:05, Marion County Commissioner Carl Zalek in the house. What's going on in Marion County? A lot. There's always a lot going on. He'll share some of that coming up. So, sports, athletics, Not every child has to get involved or participate. As long as they're in some kind of group activity with some good leadership, you know, maybe it's the, you know, scouting or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's taking martial arts lessons or ballet or learning a musical instrument. But, you know, you've got to feed the kids, you know, absorb it. And for athletics, you do learn things like, you know, hard work and practice pays off in the game,
oh, yeah.
just like studying for a test pays off when you take
it.
Role
models are important at all this stuff.
Interacting, having your buddies back and all of those things, sportsmanship, you know. Win or lose, you know,
oh, yeah.
be a good sport, shake hands, all that. But a lot of that depends on, if the message is really getting through, depends on the parents that are involved. And in most of these cases, you know, they're volunteers. So they're taking their time. And not everybody's so quick to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I kind of had a little shove. I'm like, I want to help.
Right.
I'll be like an assistant coach. They go, yeah, we see that here. But we need you to be a head coach. Think of me a head coach.
It happens.
I played some high school baseball. I knew enough of the fundamentals. And,
yeah.
and what I instilled in my kids was, you know, if you always give your best, I mean hustle and try. I'm not gonna give you a hard time.
Right.
That's what. But effort. I want effort.
Yes.
100% effort. You give me all the effort, I don't care whether you're successful every time. And in baseball, you learn to fail because, let's say, if you're a good baseball hitter,
uh-huh.
you're unsuccessful 70% of the time.
Yeah. I mean, it's better than being a weatherman. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. So, case in point here, it all depends on the parents. A youth football game in Pittsburgh canceled Saturday after a coach began screaming and then tried to swing at people on the field.
What?
The video originated, recorded by parent Ryan Crux, began gaining views after the coach went off as his team was losing 7-0 with 3 minutes left in the game. Now, okay. if you know anything about football, 7-0 is not a huge lead. You score a touchdown and you're tied. So, and 3 minutes left is maybe not a lot of time, but certainly it's enough to get it done.
Yeah.
The coach apparently became incensed after a play, though the video is unclear exactly what set him off. What is clear is that the green-shirted coach began an animated yelling match before rushing another taller man in a black shirt. The coach then pushed his face into the other man's chest, and the man in the black shirt then pushed the coach away. Then it got real.
Oh, man.
The still-screaming coach slapped at the taller man's arms, but soon a woman came running up to confront the out-of-control coach. After she ran up yelling, he appeared to knock down her arm and push at her. Ruh-roh.
Now you crossed the
now
line.
Now you're going to draw people in that ordinarily would have just kept their seat.
Uh-huh.
Then the taller man in black again intervened. At that point, the green-shirted coach grabbed the taller man around the legs and flipped him to the ground.
Man.
The two were separated before any punches could be thrown, but the green-shirted coach needed to be physically dragged away to break them up.
That's crazy.
Ends with the still combative coach jumping up, ready for more action. As people said, it's time for you to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
and so, of course, the game ended at that point. Still had 3 minutes on the clock. Didn't matter.
Huh.
Game's over. You forfeit. And so his kids never had a chance. So I guess there's still a lesson in that.
Yeah.
Don't behave like that coach.
Yes.
It could cost you the game. And I don't know. It's a youth football coach. I could imagine the parents aren't going to let him coach anymore.
You'd hope not.
And maybe that's all for the best. I mean, here's a guy that clearly maybe has some passion for the game.
Well, you have to have a little control of your passion.
Well, yeah, they're youth football players. It's like there's the lessons that they learn there. Are going to carry them through life, whereas a pursuit at the professional level is so extremely rare.
Oh yeah,
you're not coaching for that one in a million kid. You're coaching for all the kids that'll take what they learn from athletics and use it in the real world to compete and to learn how to win, and to sometimes learn how to take a loss and learn from it. These are all great.
Right.
These are all great lessons. I mean. But it's, you know, based on capitalism. If you want to be socialism, you give all the kids a little trophy.
Get your little participation.
It doesn't matter how hard you work or whether you win or not, because you're going to get the same reward as the other team. those messages have slowly been instilled through time in our kids. Remember? Remember that? I think we got away from that period, though. Everyone gets a participation trophy.
They finally, actually, there was actually like this, from one of these boards of really smart people who came to the conclusion, you know, maybe that's not working. Whereas everyday folks are going, we knew it wouldn't.
I think what we need in youth sports is a coach that will never lose his temper or her temper.
Okay.
You need a humanoid. You program it to coach and teach efficiently and effectively without getting emotional because it's a humanoid. It's a robot. And according to Elon Musk at the G20 meeting, his prediction, 1 billion, wait, let me put my baby finger on my mouth, 1 billion humanoid robots will outproduce all of humanity in 10 years.
Okay. So what are the rest of us going to do?
The humanity!
There's not going to be much humanity, though.
Yep. He said Musk covered four topics. Power constraints on AI, the technology's economic potential, humanoid robotics, and how governments should regulate emerging tech. Robotics is where Musk got more specific about mechanics. He described humanoid robot usefulness as a product of three factors: AI software, the onboard AI chip, and electromechanical dexterity, particularly in the hands. All three are improving exponentially, he said. Once robots start manufacturing other robots, growth turns recursive, meaning slow at first, then explosive. He called his own 10-year forecast conservative, projecting well over a billion humanoid robots, each roughly five times as productive as a person.
Well, they don't get tired. They don't have to eat. They don't go to the bathroom. They don't take a smoke break.
They don't go on strike.
Oh, I wouldn't bet on it. Because they're going to get really smart.
At some point, they're going to take over.
Uh-huh.
Time to build that time machine just in case.
Yeah.
What era would you go back to?
Wow. That's some deep thought there.
Yeah. Hmm. If it's like a vacation, you might go to a different era than if you're trying to, say, change the future, possibly.
Yes.
Yeah. I've got some ideas. But we'll save them for Friday. Good morning and welcome. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky.